My guest at this time is former Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra, who served as chairman of the House Select Intelligence Committee. He is now working with the Investigative Project and is co-author of the book Architects of Disaster, The Destruction of Libya. However, today, Iran is our focal point, following a blockbuster Wall Street Journal report suggesting that the Obama administration secretly organized an airlift of $400 million worth of money to Iran that happened to coincide with the release of four Americans detained there back in January. And, Mr. Chairman, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, it's always good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, let's start with just the first few paragraphs of the Journal story here. Quote, the Obama administration secretly organized an airlift of $400 million worth of cash to Iran that coincided with the January release of four Americans detained in Tehran, according to U.S. and European officials and congressional staff briefed on the operation afterward. Wooden pallets stacked with euros, Swiss francs, and other currencies were flown into Iran on an unmarked cargo plane, according to these officials. The U.S. procured the money from the central banks of the Netherlands and Switzerland. The money represented the first installment of a $1.7 billion settlement the Obama administration reached with Iran to resolve a decades-old dispute over a failed arms deal signed just before the 1979 fall of the Shah in Iran. Immediate reaction has kind of covered the gamut here. I want you to get a little bit of taste of that. I'm sure you've heard some of this. Here's State Department spokesman John Kirby insisting this was not a ransom payment.
We just don't pay ransom. It is our policy. This was not ransom. Any suggestion that it had anything to do with ransom is absolutely and utterly false. These were two separate processes run by two separate teams. Now, yes, they were done simultaneously, and so I understand the coincidental nature here, the timing, but absolutely had nothing to do with ransom. We do not and will not pay ransom.
Mary Kissel is on the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, which broke the story.
It's ludicrous to suggest that this wasn't a ransom payment. Iran is calling it a ransom payment. If it looks like a ransom payment and it smells like a ransom payment, that's exactly what it is.
Mr. Hoekstra, you understand these things a lot better than most of us. So what's your read on this in the hours following this report? Is this ransom or not?
Absolutely. It's a ransom payment. The one thing that the State Department official, Mr. Kirby, fails to mention is the president this summer changed our policy on ransom. He didn't do it legislatively, but made it very, very clear that America's policy was going to change from where we don't pay ransom to where, if you did pay ransom, you'd be prosecuted. But he made it very, very clear this summer that if families wanted to pursue paying ransom for family members or friends who were being held hostage, the U.S. government would assist them in that process and would never, ever prosecute them. This is a president that has all along been willing to negotiate and make a deal, and if the deal included ransom, he has been open to it. So as the Wall Street Journal person put it, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, it's a duck. This is a ransom payment.
What precedent does this set?
Well, it sets a precedent that, and it's a very difficult issue, but this clearly now sets the precedent that if Iran, ISIS, or other groups hold Americans hostage, that they now can expect that the United States will negotiate with them and will pay them a ransom. Not always, but that option now exists where previously it did not.
The flip side of this, of course, deals with the hostages. We're glad they're out. What would have been the smarter policy, however, than handing over $400 million worth of cash?
Well, the smarter policy would have been we gave them a sweetheart arrangement for the nuclear agreement. You would have folded it into this agreement and said, before we do anything with a nuclear agreement, we want our hostages released. And then we will negotiate. We will keep sanctions in place until our hostages are released. We had the world community with us. At the end of these negotiations, many people believe Iran ended up with a pathway to a nuclear weapon. They ended up with $1.7 billion. For ransom for these hostages, and that's you know, we got out negotiated on this, and they did, you know, the Iranians did a very, very nice job.
What does it say about our negotiating team that they didn't get that included in the original deal, if there had to be a deal?
Well, I mean, number one, there didn't have to be a deal, but it, you know, it's very, very clear. We didn't negotiate very tough. We wanted a deal. We made it very, very clear at the beginning. This president actually signaled to the Iranians before he became president that he was going to negotiate with them and that he really wanted a deal. When you go in and you make it clear to the other party that the most important thing to you is that you get a deal, they're going to hold most of the cards. If you go in and say, yeah, we want a deal, we want a good deal, and if we don't get a good deal, we're willing to walk away. Obama and Kerry up front made it clear that we wanted an agreement. The Iranians held the cards on this.
We're talking with former House Select Intelligence Committee Chairman Pete Hoekstra, former congressman from Michigan. He's the author of Architects of Disaster, The Destruction of Libya. And if you want to know who the architects are, the pictures on the front of the book are Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. When it comes to the explanation of the timing of this, we just heard from John Kirby. Josh Earnest at the White House also said on Wednesday, look, these were completely separate tracks and they just happened to coincide at the exact same time. But Mary Kissel, again, who was in that interview on Fox, she's from the Wall Street Journal, had this to say about that supposedly coincidental timing.
The administration wants you to believe that this payment is solely about money that was owed to Iran because of a deal that was done in the 70s under the prior regime. That's a dispute that was being litigated in The Hague. But, Bill, why wouldn't the administration just continue to litigate that in The Hague? What's better, doing a settlement and a ransom that sets a terrible precedent and gives money to a state sponsor of terror, or letting a legal process play out in an international court?
And her argument is essentially that this legal fight wasn't done. The Obama administration short-circuited it at what appears to be a rather convenient time. So what do you make of that aspect of this?
I think you've got two other points to make here. Number one, why not continue to litigate? The second thing is there are a lot of aggrieved parties in the United States who have been trying to access that 1.7 or that $1.7 or $400 million, however you look at it, and they were going after them, the Iranians, in U.S. court to collect damages that the Iranians had imposed on these individuals. So it's not like they were only litigating whether this was Iranian money or not. There were also U.S. citizens who were attempting to litigate and get settlements for the damages that they received from Iran. And so that's one point. The second thing is, if it's purely a coincidence and all of that, then why the secrecy? Why, you know, pallets of money coming from The Hague on an unmarked plane, flying out of Switzerland and going there? Why no transparency to Congress? Why no transparency to the American people as this was being negotiated, rather waiting until after it was all done, and then finally exposing what happened to the American people in Congress? If it's all above board, you know, then give us the transparency up front.
So based on your experience, nothing here passes the smell test, it sounds like.
It really doesn't pass the smell test. And, you know, it's just consistent with where this administration has been on foreign policy. They have fundamentally turned America's foreign policy head over heels, now negotiating ransom payments for hostages, embracing the Muslim Brotherhood, embracing the regime in Iran, embracing Cuba, and the list goes on and on. And in almost all of those negotiations, America has gotten very little benefit from massive changes in our foreign policy.
Mr. Chairman, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your analysis today.
Great. Thank you.
Former Michigan Congressman, former House Select Intelligence Committee Chairman Peter Hoekstra. He is now with the Investigative Project, and he is the author of Architects of Disaster, The Destruction of Libya. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.